Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see all of you here today. Please turn in your Bibles to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts, the 20th chapter. Today we're going to have the third installment of our series on eldership, spiritual leadership, actually, because we are going to talk not only about elders, but we are going to talk about deacons as well eventually. We've talked about the kind of the chain of authority in the first lesson that we gave back on the 6th of September, and how that God has the ultimate authority. He gave that authority to His Son. The Holy Spirit is the one who guided the apostles in all truth. The apostles and prophets were the ones who wrote down what was necessary in the New Testament. And in that, we have the perfect example of Jesus Christ and the perfect standard for us to follow. Therefore, it makes sense that if we are having a perfect standard with God telling us what to do and Jesus Christ giving us the perfect human example of what ought to be done, then we ought to make sure that as we follow the Word of God, that those who also follow the Word of God would be those that would be best to serve as examples for us. Last time we talked about how that there are several words used for this one office in the New Testament. We saw how that the word presbyteros is the word that is used to carry with it the idea of elder, translated that way. In fact, presbyopia, do you remember, is that word meaning old eyes. And everybody around the age of 40 gets it, where their arms get too short to be able to see what they're wanting to read. Presbyteros carries with it somebody who is older. And therefore, we see this office describing someone who is older and therefore has been able to live consistently with the pattern that the Lord has outlined in His Word, and somebody who through life experience has been able to have more wisdom than those who are not near as tried in the crucible of life. We saw also the word episkopos is the word that's used, translated bishop in the King James Version, but the word means an overseer. And it is important to understand that someone not only has to be able to have lived the life that Jesus wants them to live, as outlined in the qualifications that we'll talk about next week, but they also have to have been somebody who has been able to take control over their lives to the extent that they can now be able to help other people as they live their lives, so that through the right kind of example, they can show someone how they live, not just worry about their own problems, but because they have overcome certain problems through the help of the Lord, they're able to now be able to look and help others as they oversee the flock and make sure that they are able to do those things that they need to do and to give an account for them. The third word that we saw used is a word that means shepherd, poimen, and it implies that those who would be elders would be shepherds of the flock. A shepherd is much different than a cowboy because a cowboy can herd cattle, can drive cattle. Sheep will follow a good shepherd, however. And there are many different ways that we see sheep needing a shepherd more than cattle need a cowboy. Sheep are especially vulnerable. Sheep are not strong. Sheep are not fierce. Sheep are not fast. So they are very vulnerable to predators. Therefore, the shepherd is very important to make sure that they are protected, that they are properly fed, that they are properly guided in the way that they need to go. And I don't know that the Lord is using the term to be a pejorative against His people, but He is trying to let us understand the kind of leaders that we need to have, shepherd leaders. Those that are older, who have lived consistently with the Word of God, those that can serve as overseers, who can take responsibility not only for themselves but for others, but also those then who would have the ability to lead sheep, not drive goats, but to be able to lead sheep. And it is important for us to understand that we understand a little bit about the work of elders on the basis of the terms that are used to describe them. This morning, I'd like to talk about the work of the elders as it's described in other passages in Scripture, and then finish by talking about members' duties toward those. And then, next week, Lord willing, we will deal with the qualifications as are found in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and in Titus 1. The week after that, Lord willing, we'll talk about the qualifications for deacons and the ability that deacons have to be able to serve as special servants for a congregation. And then the week following, we'll have questions that you'll be able to submit ahead of time that I can study and find answers to, hopefully, and therefore be able to finish our study with 6 lessons on eldership that hopefully will make us better suited to be able to make a selection by looking out among us and seeing those who might qualify as elders and deacons in this congregation. The work of the elder is pointed out in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 28, is to feed the flock. King James Version says feed. The New American Standard says shepherd. The word technically is the word shepherd, but one of the main things that shepherds have to do is to feed the sheep that are put in their charge. An area like Palestine, where vegetation is not always evident, especially in the southern and eastern part of the country, what was important for a shepherd was to know where it had rained, where there was grass, where the springs were. And it's important for elders to be able to feed the flock, to make sure that they have plenty to eat, that they don't grow weak because they don't have enough to eat. In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul has summoned the elders at Ephesus to meet him at the port city of Miletus, and there he tells them that they need to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd, or like I say, the King James Version says, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. How do elders feed the flock? Well, one of the things that's important is to make sure that they're given the proper diet in reference to the Word of God. That means that elders have the responsibility to teach. That's one of the reasons that, as we'll see next week, elders are supposed to be apt to teach. That doesn't mean that they might do it if asked. That means that they have an aptitude to be able to do that. And so therefore, to feed the flock means that you have to have the ability to teach. You don't have to do all the teaching. There are others that you might be able to point in the direction of and set them in a position where they can teach the flock. There are evangelists that work with elders to be able to help them feed the flock with what they need to be able to be fed with. But we need to recognize that it is primarily the elders' responsibility to make sure that the flock is properly fed. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter in verse 17, there the Apostle Paul, as he talks to the young preacher Timothy, emphasizes again the importance of making sure that the flock is properly fed. He says, "I want the elders who rule well to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching." So here he mentions something that is often not done among churches of Christ, is to pay elders. And there are situations in which that might be best to do. There are other situations where it might not be practical. There is authority, though, for it. And we see here one of those situations is to especially consider men who are busy preaching and teaching to do that. Even if an elder is not paid, however, he has the obligation to preach and to teach and to make sure that the flock is properly fed. Just like a shepherd feeds his flock, he has to make sure that he takes care of them. He manages the flock. He, just like you, manage your family and make sure that your family is properly fed. You take care of that job so that they have the biblical instruction that they need to have so that they can be well-rounded, they can be healthy spiritually and sound. It's also important to understand that they have the obligation to guard the flock against danger. In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, again, in verse 29 this time, it says, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each of you with tears." Here he tells them that there's going to be savage wolves coming in among them. He's not talking about four-legged wolves. He's talking about two-legged wolves. People who would come in and damage the flock by teaching them the wrong thing, by spreading immorality among them, by using the flock rather than it being something in which the flock is fed. And therefore, elders have to be people who are able to, as it says in the qualifications, to convict the gainsayer, to be someone who is able to stand up against those who would come in and teach the things that are wrong. You know, it's so easy in a congregation that is not well led to be led astray by someone who comes in who might be especially attractive. For example, a nice-looking young preacher comes in, well-dressed, well-spoken, seems to be able to have the ability to speak so well and seems to handle the Scriptures well, but there's something about him that doesn't teach what God would have them to do. The elders have to have the ability to take him aside and teach him better what he needs to teach the flock. Or if it's something that he persists in or something that is a public wrong that needs to be corrected, that they're the ones that publicly correct it then. It's important for them to understand that that is part of their responsibility to not only feed the flock, but also to protect the flock and guard it from false teachers. They also have the responsibility to lead the flock as examples. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, in verse 8, it says that they want he who resorts in his exhortation, he who gives in his liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Here we see elders are given the responsibility to lead in exhortation. Here they're given the responsibility to lead with diligence. And it's important for us to recognize that that is an important part of what they do. One of the words that's used is for elders is episkopos, and that carries with it the idea of someone who looks over the group, who in effect stands over them and is able to oversee the flock so that he not only sees them, but that they see him. So that he's able to be someone who serves as an example for the flock. We saw back in 1 Timothy 5:17 that again, those who were mentioned as being indicated as ruling well were to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. That responsibility is something that serves as a great example for the rest of the flock so that people recognize by the time they ought to be teachers, they'll have those who have given the right example so that they recognize it's their job to teach as well. Someone who is able to guide those in not only taking care and making sure that the assembly operates like it's supposed to, but that there is individual growth that takes place on the part of all members. Elders need to serve as the right kind of examples, not as lords over God's heritage, but as people who understand very clearly their responsibility to serve as the right kind of examples. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter in verse 3, there the Apostle Peter told the brethren, as he's describing elders, he says, "Not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." They have the obligation to make sure that they are examples. And that takes a lot of responsibility. Someone who can be just like the Apostle Paul, who said, "Be ye imitators of me as I also am of Christ." Elders, in effect, are saying that by the fact that they take on that position. They're wanting to be examples to the flock. And it takes a lot of responsibility to be the right kind of example. All of us as Christians need to make that our goal, to be the right kind of example to other people. But elders especially have that particular responsibility. In 1 Peter the 5th chapter in verse 2, it says, "Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness." Here again, there's the responsibility not only to feed the flock, but to tend the flock, to make sure that the flock has its needs met. And sometimes that may involve not only the flock, but it may involve those who are the children of the flock, so that they are provided the right kind of environment so that when the time comes, they can obey the gospel. Sometimes it may involve doing something to make sure that the singing is more edifying. Sometimes it may be that there need to be special classes for men and women that might be able to teach them how to be better fathers and mothers, to be better teachers of their children and of their peers. It's important to be able to understand that. And it takes tending the flock to be able to do that and taking on that important responsibility. But also, as it says in Hebrews the 13th chapter in verse 17, elders have the responsibility to watch over the souls of those who are in their charge. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews in verse 17, it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Here it says, in a verse that carries with it the idea of obeying your elders. It's interesting, the word used for obey there is not the normal word for obey. It's a word that is related to the Greek word patho. And that patho is not Mexican money. Patho is the word that means I persuade. So basically, it carries with it the idea of being someone who doesn't just lord it over God's heritage, but someone who, because he knows the Word of God, makes a distinct effort to try to persuade the flock, and the responsibility of the flock is to allow themselves to be persuaded. I didn't always agree with my dad after I left the house that he was the head of. In fact, over the years, there were areas in which we disagreed considerably. But I'll tell you one thing my daddy always deserved. Because he was my daddy, because he brought me into this world, because he raised me, because he had been the right kind of example for me, anything my daddy ever wanted to talk to me about, he had the right to talk to me about it, and I had the obligation to listen and give him the opportunity to persuade me. My dad wasn't perfect. Elders aren't always perfect. But we need to always have enough respect for them to give them the opportunity to be able to persuade us of the validity of a biblical argument. That doesn't mean we fall in lockstep and obey them when they lead in a wrong way. We may not like the decisions that they make. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But if they lead in a way that is inconsistent with Scripture, we ought not to go there. But we ought to always listen to what they say and allow them the opportunity to persuade us consistently with the Word of God. You notice the reason is because they are ones who will have to give an account. They're ones who watch over your souls. All of us have responsibility over ourselves. Us as parents have responsibility over our children and over our spouses so that we might lead them in the right way. But you know, elders are the ones who have the responsibility to tend the flock, to oversee the flock, to give an account of them. People understood that about shepherds. A shepherd would come in at the end of the time that he was shepherding the flock. Sometimes a whole season he might spend away and then bring the sheep back so that they could be sheared and certain ones of them could be slaughtered. But he had to make sure that he came back with as many or more sheep than he left with. Now, I didn't mean that he stole some. It meant that some of them might have lambed during the time that he had them. But he couldn't come back with less, or he would have to pay for it out of his pocket. We need to understand that shepherds are the ones who are going to give an account, just like shepherds in ancient times had to give an account for the sheep that they missed. We need to make sure that we give account for the sheep that we miss. Sometimes it's easy for us as members to see people come and go in a congregation and think, well, that's no big deal. I guess they weren't that committed anyway. Elders are the ones who spend time not sleeping at night. The elders are the ones who have responsibilities that keep them concerned over the course of time, over somebody who's getting weak, over somebody who's beginning to slip away from the assembly, of those that are beginning to go away into false doctrine. Elders are the ones who will give an account, and therefore we need to listen to them when they watch for our souls. Members have duties toward elders that I want to talk about here for just a minute, and then I'll leave the lesson with you. In the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Timothy that we've already read, in verses 17 and 18, it says, listen, those that rule well, and again, the word rule there is not the usual word for rule. It carries with it the idea of those that stand before you, those who are set before you, those who are set over you, emphasizing the idea of the proper kind of example. Those, it's also translated manage, or those who superintend you, are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those that work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox when he's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. That means that an elder must be honored. And double honor here carries with it the idea of honoring someone in the sense of paying them, which is certainly a right that an elder can claim if it is an expedient thing for the congregation to do. But it is a situation that whether we honor them by the funds that we support them with or not, they are due honor because of the position that they hold. And we need to make sure that we show proper honor and respect to elders. I've heard of situations where you had people, especially young people, who somehow got crossed up with an elder who had talked to an elder like you ought not to talk to any person that's your brother or sister in Christ, or talk to an elder like they shouldn't talk to any older person. Older people ought to be given respect. Elders in the Lord's church ought to especially be given honor. Whether they are paid to serve as elders or not, they ought to be people who are given honor and respect because of the function that they provide for the congregation. In verse 19 of 1 Timothy 5, it says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Another thing, it's an obligation and a duty of those who would serve under elders is not just to make sure that they are given the proper honor, that under circumstances we allow them to be the ones that we follow, that they always deserve a listen, that they always deserve to be the ones that we allow the opportunity to be our examples and guides. But we also need to make sure that we don't accept idle accusations against them, because they do serve in a very public function. There are things that we need to make sure that we protect them from. Anybody who gets their nose out of joint can wind up making an accusation against an elder that's not true. But you notice here it says, don't accept an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Elders are not perfect, but elders aren't to be abused either by any kind of system. Somebody's word against an elder is something that everybody ought not to accept as fact, because the elder is in a position that ought to have respect associated with it. There are two or three witnesses, then an elder may very well be in a position to where he needs to be rebuked. And in fact, under those circumstances, as the Apostle Paul tells the younger preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy the 5th chapter, you notice he says not only don't accept an accusation against an elder except by the mouth of two or three witnesses, but you notice if an elder is guilty of those things that he describes here, they need to be rebuked in the presence of all so that they will fear sinning. It's important to make sure that we understand that clear distinction that elders have greater responsibility and therefore certain protections according to the law of God. But also, we need to recognize that they have greater liabilities as well. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. Verse 20 of 1 Timothy 5. We need to make sure that we recognize the importance of honoring elders and not accepting idle accusations against them, because they are people that, because of their position, deserve a special honor and respect and proper due process. Also, it's important for us to recognize that we need to subject ourselves to them. In the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Peter, it says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God's opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." One of the things that's taught throughout the Word of God is the importance of submission toward one another. We need to submit ourselves to each other to make sure that our best interest is not looked out before somebody else's. We need to make sure that we teach, as is taught in the Word of God in Ephesians 5, that women are to subject themselves to their husbands. Husbands are to submit their happiness and their well-being to their wives by loving them like God loves the church. We need to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, we're told also in the book of Ephesians. But you know, we also need to make sure that we don't have an attitude of pride, but one that allows itself to submit ourselves to those who are in the position of elders over us. That doesn't mean they're always right. But I'll tell you, only in those situations where they demand of us something inconsistent with the Word of God are we to be in a situation in which we do not submit ourselves, and then it is a better situation for us to leave rather than to cause a division among God's people. We have to make sure that we submit ourselves to our elders as the Lord would have us to do. In the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, in verse 17, a passage we looked at a minute ago, where it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as ones who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." That means that we have to listen to them. We have to make sure, just as I told you earlier, that the word obey there is a form of the word patho, to persuade. We have to, as it says, it could literally be translated, continue to let them persuade you, is the beginning of the verse of chapter 13, verse 17. And we need to make sure that we do that. In verse 18, we see the same word that's used there to talk about obey, used in the sense of the Apostle Paul being convinced, in the writer of the book of Hebrews being convinced. Here in verse 18, it says, "Pray for us, for we are sure that you have a good conscience, desiring to conduct things honorably in all things." The same word as obey is used in the fact that he says, we are sure, we are persuaded that you are able to do this. We need to listen to our elders. Don't treat them just like you would somebody that you have no respect for. They deserve respect. If they're in a situation where they sin, and they sin in such a way that they are deposed, then they need to be treated like fallen brothers that are treated with love and concern and try to bring them back. But under every circumstance save sin, we need to be in a position in which we always show our subjection and our willingness to listen to them and obey the things that they have determined that are best for the congregation, because they give an account in a way that none of the rest of us will. Next week, Lord willing, I'll talk about the qualifications of elders, as was mentioned in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1. Then the week after that, as I mentioned earlier, we'll talk about the qualifications of deacons. And then I hope you're coming up with questions that you submit either to me or to the elders between now and then. And on that sixth Sunday, what we'll do is we'll talk about your questions about very specific things in reference to eldership and deacons. So please keep those kinds of things in mind, and hopefully by the time we finish, we'll have had a very thorough, well-rounded study of eldership and deacons so that we understand the kind of spiritual leadership that the Lord God had in mind. The lesson today hasn't been one to tell you what to do to become a Christian, but hopefully lets us understand things that Christians need to be occupied with when it comes to appointing elders in a local congregation. If you, on other occasions, have known what you need to do to obey the Lord and to become consistent with His will, we'd love to help you in your obedience to the Lord this morning. If you'll come in faith, if you'll show it through repentance, if you'll confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we can baptize you this morning so that you can leave this place a child of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you, as a child of God, haven't lived as you should, you need to correct whatever stands between you and God while there's time and opportunity, because you need to correct that before either death overcomes you or the Lord comes back, because it'll be a long time in hell to think about how sad it was that you didn't repent when there was time to do so. Think about these things, and if we can help anyone as they make things right with the Lord this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.